Under the leadership of Director Brandon Smith, the Putnam County Emergency Management Agency works to reduce risk, protect lives and property, respond to emergencies, and support recovery efforts to restore normalcy as quickly as possible. Welcome, Brandon.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here, as always.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You're one of my most favorite people in the world that exists.
I still say you got to set the bar higher, but we'll go with it.
I'm thankful you're here and thankful to call you a friend. So you've been on before several times. I'm glad you're back. But let's get into something that just recently happened that you were heavily involved with as the executive director or the director of emergency management agency in Putnam County. There was an accident on I-40 a few days ago that involved, I believe, a tractor trailer going over the side of the interstate or the embankment and fell onto Buffalo Valley Road. Is that right?
It did not. It actually, we brought it down on Buffalo Valley Road, but the crash was on the interstate, 269 eastbound, and it's a steep embankment off most of our interstate. Has, you know, some significant areas where there are steep embankments come off the side. In this particular area, Buffalo Valley Road, way down in the valley, parallels Interstate 40, and it kind of comes and goes down through there. Well, this was in a spot that it came up close to Interstate 40. The truck rolled off of the interstate, landed about halfway down, and the tow operators, Tim Nord out of Monterey, was the one who got the call and called a couple others to come help him. Danny Loftus came and helped him with that one, and they decided that the best route was just to pull it down the hill instead of trying to pull it back up the hill. In order to do up the hill, we would have had to close the interstate for several hours, and it's just not safe. And it's not the most effective way to do business. So we went out Buffalo Valley Road, but the crash was actually on Interstate 40.
What happened? It just...
I think I heard somebody say the driver fell asleep.
Oh, my goodness.
It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's hearsay. I just...
But
I
there was no casualties. It's
minor injuries. Yeah. Very lucky. They were... When we got there, they were in the trees because of the way the truck landed and how high off the ground, you know, the cab of the truck was sitting at that point. It was easier for them to get to the tree, and so we helped them get down. And then the rescue squad is also underneath the emergency management agency in Putnam County. That's different in every county, but here it's a sub-department of EMA. And so the rescue squad, our rope rescue team, went down, our extrication crews, got them out, and brought them up the embankment.
So let's talk about what happens. When that call comes in from 911, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What happened from that point with your involvement and EMA's involvement?
So 911 pages for any crash in Putnam County where injuries are reported or suspected, the 911 center here dispatches EMS, the fire department, and the rescue squad, each having our own clearly defined responsibilities for what we do. So the rescue squad is rolling as both first responder, the first person we can get on scene to help take care of the patients, but also the rescue aspect of it, whatever that rescue aspect looks like. Fire department for fire suppression, and then they also have medical responders on board. And they have several stations that are staffed, so it's significant likelihood that they're going to get there first and be able to get a medically trained responder on scene, which is exactly what happened here. And then EMS for the patient care and transport. So the rescue squad was dispatched. We all get that notification on our pagers. Then we have an app where we also receive it on our phone. And the more information that came out, we realized, okay, this is a commercial vehicle. It's a semi. It's over an embankment. There are reportedly people trapped in the vehicle. Like all the information makes it start sounding a little bit worse as it comes out. So we respond with a rescue squad. And as we get there, we realize, okay, there are also emergency management responsibilities. What a lot of people don't understand about emergency management is that our primary mission is to support the emergency response agencies, the law enforcement, fire, EMS, rescue. Our job is to support them with resources. And so if it's something unique that they don't have the resource to handle, our job is to know where those resources exist, whether we get them from the state, the federal government, surrounding counties, and how we're going to get those assets, how long it's going to take, what are they going to need when they get here, how much is it going to cost. That's really what our primary function is in helping the community be prepared for a bad day. So we go down there, and we work the rescue component of it. Our leadership in the rescue squad's phenomenal. Our rope rescue guys get the patient up the hill, and then we realize we have a diesel fuel spill. On top of that, our job is to help identify what's the load of the tractor trailer, what's it hauling, and we liaison then with the State Emergency Management Agency, the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, and all the other stakeholders at the state level to make sure that we protect the environment, we protect the soil, we protect the property if it's on private property or state property, either one. and get that remediated back to as normal as we can following the crash.
So how far down are we talking this tractor trailer was roughly from the interstate?
I'd say we were probably 20 to 25 yards off of the interstate and about 25 yards from Buffalo Valley Road. So it was a good halfway point. Yeah, and the trees are what stopped it. It came very close. Had it been in a different area, I should say, it would have come very close to going all the way down. And this area is pretty thick wood.
Yeah, and you are the director of the Emergency Management Agency in Putnam County. And so 2 a.m., most of the time you're at home, I'm assuming.
Preferably.
At your house.
That's
with your wife. And you're, yeah. So you get the phone call, I'm assuming. You hear it on your phone. You
get I get the phone page.
Yep. And you go into commander mode, I'm guessing, as,
we
your,
do.
As your role.
So this one, Tyler Smith, our deputy director, our longtime director before me, Tyler was there first, so he was the incident commander, and he retained command of that scene the whole time. The rescue was well underway by the time I got to the scene way down in the valley. And I came in kind of on that second wave once they realized they needed rope rescue and they needed additional resources. But Tyler was in command of the scene, controlling the amount of resources coming in. How many people are we sending over the hill? Did everybody get back up? Let's do this the safest way possible. Just all those pieces that have to happen. And so we really buy into here what we call the unified command concept. And unified command says that EMS has somebody in charge of EMS, fire has somebody in charge of fire, rescue has somebody in charge of rescue, highway patrol has somebody in charge of the highway patrol, and those four people make the decisions about that scene.
And they work together.
They work together. Most of the time, they're within an arm's reach of each other. The bigger the incident gets, the closer that group has to come together to really manage it. On some of those smaller crashes, and as technical as this one was, it was still a small crash, single vehicle off the roadway. But they worked together to affect the lane closures, to make sure the patients were all transported and we had enough ambulances. The rescue was done safely, that there were no fire issues, no hazardous materials in the load that needed to be mitigated, that it was safe for us to go down the hill in the first place. Just all of those pieces that have to come together really, really quickly. And if those people don't work together, somebody misses it and somebody gets hurt.
So I'm going to ask a dumb question. Brandon, you're used to that. You've known me way too long. How important is it for you to be on scene instead of at your office working this? What's the relevance of you being there instead of in the office?
Yeah, some people would say there's no relevance for me being there, that I'm irrelevant anyway, but that's a whole other conversation I'm working through.
That's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show in and of itself. And Randy would probably, our mayor would probably like to be involved in that one.
Yeah. About both of our irrelevances.
For sure,
right?
Yeah. He'd get his digs in on that one. No, I think for this, the emergency management side of the house is really where the relevance was, and me and Tyler and Philip, our planning and operations chief, being there. Because you can't manage that type of incident from the office. Mm-hmm. That's the type of incident you have to be there. You have to get the DOT number off the truck, the carrier number off the truck, the trailer number, exactly what the load is. We're sending pictures to our TDEC representatives. I talked to our TDEC rep probably about daylight that day, and coordinating with TEMA and making sure that we call in the cleanup company. We're responsible. We assist the fire departments. It's ultimately the fire chief's call, but usually they rely on us. So we're responsible for contacting the environmental cleanup company that's going to come and dig that hillside out and spray the microblaze to, you know, neutralize the active ingredients in the diesel fuel, the soil erosion that, you know, protection that's going to come from that, because we cleaned an entire hillside, coincidentally about the length of a semi, nose to tail, all the way down the hill. We cleaned all the woods and lumber off of that hillside. So there's a significant worry about soil erosion. There's a significant worry about mudslides and things on down the line. So that we work with that cleanup company to make sure all those benchmarks are met. We make sure TDEC's happy with what's going on there.
How does that tractor trailer get down the hill without falling?
You know, that I expected it to be a little more dramatic than it was. But as it came down, the weight of the trailer and the way that the trailer was broken, they pulled from the back of the trailer first, and which left the tractor up at the nose, up at the top. And so the trailer just kind of dragged the tractor down. It was a very controlled descent, very well done by those wrecker operators. And that's another group of folks, and they just don't get enough credit. The things that they're able to do, the stuff that I go, man, there's no way I'd do that. They climb right up in the middle of it and make it happen to get our roadways back open and get that vehicle, you know, secure the load and make all those things happen. Those guys are just impressive, and we have a great group of wrecker operators around here, too.
Do you, as EMA, do you all ever do joint trainings with wrecker services around here?
Yeah, so the rescue squad, we're very fortunate that we have some of the wrecker companies that provide us vehicles for our extrication class before they take them to scrap them, you know, something like that. And PSC is really good to us as well with some of the scrap vehicles they have. And so we were just in the junkyard Saturday, took a whole group. There's probably 30, 35 different squad members out there using extrication tools and cutting cars apart, learning about the different vehicles, teaching the new folks how to use the equipment and the methodology behind it. But we train jointly with them, and we've also run a couple of calls where we needed a wrecker to help us effect the rescue of someone. And there's nothing better than somebody rolling up on scene and being able to call them by their first name and knowing their kids' names. And, you know, just growing up in this community, you know those folks anyway. So that's really helpful also.
So everything, like I said, minor injuries, no casualties, everything. What was the time? What was the process to get everything? Everybody rescued, everybody safe, cleaned up, no harm. What was the time?
We started 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and Buffalo Valley Road, we reopened at 10 o'clock that night. So Friday morning, 2 o'clock, we started, and we ended at 10 o'clock Friday night with the cleanup companies clearing the scene.
That was my next question. To come in and clean the trees out of the way and the soil and all that, a company's called in, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and so that's why we have people like you on here. I've had a couple of EMA directors on the last few weeks, and it's just great to hear from different counties. But we didn't get into that much detail with what happens in an emergency call situation. But there's a lot of partnerships that the counties are working with, and sometimes our taxpayers and citizens don't realize that we utilize private companies to help us with things and services we do in the county because we don't have a soil conservationist on staff for the county that can go in and help with a staff and clean up, right?
So and the cool part for us too is we're also, one of our jobs is to protect the county, protect the county's liability, protect the county's fiscal assets. And so one of our big goals is to make sure that the carrier pays for that. The county doesn't pay for that.
Right.
The carrier pays for that. Yeah. So we make all those pieces work. And that's just one slice of the pie, if you will, that hazmat side of the world. But there's so many other things that we do, and you're spot on. It's partnerships, it's relationships. We just had a new guy start today, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I told him one of the first things that we talked about with Director Foster and I is I said, you know, relationships is how we do everything.
Sure.
Somebody needs help, we help them.
Yeah.
Because if we need help, we want them to come help us as well. But that's how we best protect our community. That's how we best serve our citizens.
Absolutely. Brandon Smith, stick around to hear more from him and Putnam County Emergency Management Agency Director after this break. Brandon Smith, Putnam County Emergency Management Agency Director, is with me, and we have been talking about the steps in an accident rescue situation, just like we had a few days ago on the Interstate 40 going eastbound with a tractor trailer going over the embankment, and about a 20-hour process or so to get that cleaned up. Luckily, no casualties. And love the detail you gave us, Brandon. So I was saying before we left, because it's important to note that a lot of people, when it comes to county services, and this is probably my perspective as a commissioner for 11 years and as a citizen, but as being in county government 20 years, a lot of times EMA is not the first thought in somebody's head when it comes to county government, right?
Sure.
It's usually roads, schools, solid waste.
Yep.
And then public safety kind of is in there, but EMA is not as broadly advertised or not as, you know, it's not the biggest part of the budget as law enforcement is. And in some counties, especially in Upper Cumberland, a lot of the EMAs are part-time.
Correct.
Right? And you know those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had a couple on the last few weeks. Thankfully, Putnam County, years ago, and I don't know the first year that Tyler or anybody, whoever the director was, became full-time. But thankfully, the county recognized years ago it was important for our EMA to be a full-time working staff to work along our other public safety departments in the county. And we're growing, which I'm thankful for. And as a commissioner, I support the growth of EMA. And so, you know, how are we growing, Brandon, since you've actually been director? And, of course, Tyler was the former director. Now he's your assistant director.
Right.
Which I love how that worked out.
Oh, my gosh.
Tyler just basically said, you know what? You can be director for a while.
that's what he said. He said, I'd like a break.
Yeah.
I'm tired, and if you'd have me, I'd love to be your deputy. And I said, wouldn't say yes to that?
Yeah, exactly. So how much are we growing at EMA?
Yeah, so we've actually grown quite a bit exponentially, really, compared to our population growth. But we had a little bit of catching up to do, and Tyler and I talked about that. It's one of the things that he and I agreed on in the beginning. When I came on board, I became employee number 3 for emergency management, and now we're sitting at 5. We just hired a GIS systems administrator. He started today. His name is Davis Roberts. He comes to us from Robertson County, Tennessee Tech graduate. He interned with us. We are just over the moon to be able to get him on our team. We're pretty excited about him. Also, Philip Bynum is our planning and operations chief. He was actually just promoted this past year. Previously was our planning and operations officer. He came on board a couple years ago and just promoted him to planning and operations chief. And so he oversees kind of the day-to-day of the Emergency Operations Center and helps the rescue squad make sure they have everything in order and everything that they need, manages a lot of our finances. We still have Tyler Smith, who's our deputy director, and then Sharon Womack, who was the longtime deputy director. She chose to retire at the same time Tyler made the decision he did to take a step back and rest some. And so we talked Sharon into staying on in a contract position. And to be able to just walk across the hall and have 70, 80 years of institutional knowledge right there at your fingertips, like, you just don't get that opportunity.
Right.
So we're excited to have Philip promoted up and super excited to have Davis with the GIS mapping.
So the GIS systems administrator, which is Davis, what will they do for you at EMA?
Yeah, so he will actually serve two functions. That is a cost-shared position, which we love, you know, anything we can do to collaborate with other agencies. He is a 50% 911 paid employee, 50% EMA. He is full-time as EMA and reports through the EMA chain of command, but Penny and I work so closely together and have for years that, you know, he can go either direction he needs to get whatever resource he needs. So he will be overseeing the geographical information systems, is what GIS stands for, and he'll oversee the day-to-day mapping in the 911 center. All of the data and the information that goes into that mapping falls under his wheelhouse, the cybersecurity of mapping, which is huge now. Cybersecurity is a huge chunk of what we do in general, but certainly for the mapping piece of the house. And just anything he can do that geographical information and geo-referenced data will help us advance as a county and be better prepared. So whether it's schools, Tennessee Tech, Mayor Porter has projects all the time where he's pulling up parcels and looking at, you know, the growth of the county. This will be one more resource to help him be more efficient in what he does as well.
It adds another layer to those maps he's wanting to do and all those.
I like how you said layer.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a map layer.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. See?
That was real nice.
So Clark. I'm the 911 board chairman now, and when Miss Penny came to us and said, this is what you and her are talking about, mm-hmm. at this position, it was a no-brainer for our board. It was, you know, the funding. We wanted the funding to be there because we knew how much value that position could bring, not only to us as 911, but to you all as EMA and to the county as a whole. So I'm thankful for that. Is there more growth you want to see in EMA, and what does that look like for you?
I think so. I think there are always areas that we can improve. You know, the trick is to make sure we're being fiscally responsible and not just shooting for the moon and everything that we want. So Mayor Porter and I have had some conversations about things that we can do with the existing resources and things we may want to do in the future. The big thing with EMA is we just have to stay slightly ahead of the curve, and we have to have more resources than we could potentially have issues in the future. So as the community grows, as we see more companies come in that are bringing hazardous materials and other sorts of risks that come in, then we need to grow with that. As our schools grow, as Tennessee Tech grows, we need to grow with those things. So it's a constant balance, like I say, of making sure that we stay ahead of the curve, but we're being fiscally responsible. And we're doing what taxpayers want with their funds.
Yeah, that's, again, that's important to the taxpayer. But when they know the value, and that's one of the reasons I love being a part of this Local Matters series, is to have you all, have you people like you come on to talk about what you do. And it's a public service. It's it creates a value. It increases value of quality of life for everybody in Putnam County. And what we don't talk about a lot, Brandon, is the mutual aid agreements that we have to other counties, right? So yeah. If there's something that happens in DeKalb County or Jackson County with the Cummins Falls a few years ago, you're going to be there.
Absolutely.
If Jackson County calls you and says, we need some help, you're not going to say, no, we ain't helping you today because you're Jackson County, we're Putnam County. And we all have family and friends in surrounding counties. So I'm thankful that our citizens have been very supportive of the efforts the commission has done, not only in Putnam County, but around, to make public safety, emergency management, rescue a priority. And you're always available to these other counties. I don't know how many mutual aids you went on since your career started.
Oh, gosh.
You can't even count. I'm sure. I mean, you helped Fall Creek Falls out not long ago. Yeah. I remember talking about that.
We were just in White County a couple of weeks ago on a crash.
Yeah. And so that's just something. There's not a second thought to it, right? Y'all just take off. And so.
But that also goes the other way. Like that we have an understanding among the 14 Upper Cumberland EMA directors. We're not going to ask you if you need help. We're just going to show up. If we know you're having a bad day, and they have shown up for us in 2020, they showed up big time for us. So
they did.
It's really cool to see that collaboration across county lines as well.
Do y'all meet often?
We do.
How often do y'all meet?
Yeah, so the Upper Cumberland EMA, Upper Cumberland Emergency Management Association, we're supposed to be on a quarterly schedule. We've all been pretty busy the last couple of times, so it's been 6 months since we met, but we routinely talk to each other. We're at team of directors meetings together and, constantly having a meeting where multiple counties are involved or going to have lunch in the next county just to keep that relationship solid.
I'm with Brandon Smith, Putnam County Emergency Management Agency Director here on Local Matters. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Brandon Smith, the Putnam County Emergency Management Agency Director, is here with me talking about every part of service they provide to the citizens of Putnam County and their partners and neighbors in the Upper Cumberland. Brandon, we talked a lot about rescue, and a big part of your role, and I learned this over the last few years too, is a weatherman, not really certified meteorologist, but you have to know enough and you're always watching. And so, I've asked you, I don't harass you, I don't think. Well, other parts of life, I definitely harass you. But when it comes to weather, I may ask you every now and then, hey, is it supposed to snow? Can I travel somewhere? And you're like, you'll tell me. This is what I think. When it comes to weather notifications, we got through the tornado in 2020, and that was a tragedy. We all know that. So from that, what have we done as a county or community to upgrade or improve our weather notification?
Yeah, we're always looking at ways to enhance the warnings and enhance the amount of information coming out. We don't want to be overly disseminating with a lot of information when it may just rain or it may just storm a little bit. We try to be cautious because you can create car alarm syndrome. And if every time your Facebook pops up or social media pops up, it's talking about how bad the weather's going to be, and then the weather's not bad, that's a big deal. And people stop listening. So we try to be cautious. We share exactly what comes out of the National Weather Service. Tyler is our resident weather guru. Davis, that I just mentioned, is actually in school to be a meteorologist. So that's another avenue and another capacity that we'll have as time goes on. But, we're constantly looking at ways to alert the community. And we have a great emergency alert system here. Anybody who has a cell phone, that's one way to receive an emergency alert. It doesn't matter if you get text messages, apps, it doesn't matter. That's still one way, because we know we lose the cell phone network in a major disaster. So we ask people to always have multiple ways to receive warnings. One may be a cell phone, and you can have 10 apps. That still counts as one. One may be a NOAA weather alert radio. That's on a completely different system. One way is just staying weather aware. One way is watching the news media, local news media and regional news media. But anybody who's not signed up for emergency alerts locally, you're automatically going to get things like a tornado warning or an ice storm warning through the IPAWS system. And that's what goes off kind of like an amber alert. Mm-hmm. You're going to get that from the National Weather Service automatically. Those local alerts, when we get into, severe thunderstorm warnings, high wind warnings, and things like that, you can sign up to receive those alerts locally just by going to the county webpage, putnamcountytn.gov, and there's a sign up for emergency alerts page there. You can sign up for Tennessee Tech alerts. You can sign up for county level alerts, and there are three or four different lists you can get, depending on what level of information you want.
So last week, I'm in Pigeon Forge for a Housing Authority conference, and I leave, I guess, Thursday. Had another meeting, left Thursday. And on like Friday morning, I get this thing that says Gatlinburg's had a mudslide.
Yep.
And I didn't even know it rained
up
there. And I don't know if it was predicted or not. It must have been one of those pop-up storms that just dumped a lot of rain in one area. Mm-hmm. Do they send out, boom, notices, hey, this is severe flooding and this could impact with mudslides in this area? Is that
Absolutely.
Common?
Yeah. So the flood warning's another one of those products that comes out through the IPAWS system. Whether you're signed up or not, you receive that warning if you have emergency alerts turned on your cell phone. So a lot of people will go in and they'll turn those off. One example is amber alerts in the middle of the night. People will go in and they'll get upset and they'll turn everything off. in which case you don't get those things like the flood warning or tornado warning. The cool part about those is it's polygon based. So depending on where you are, if your phone connects up inside of that polygon, you're going to get that alert. So you're not signed up for Gatlinburg or Sevier County alerts, but you got it because your phone pinged inside the polygon.
Right.
And that's something that's a constant conversation of how do we use the information we have to effectively warn the public, because it's a risk. There's not a 100% chance that this weather pattern is ever going to actually happen. We've seen that with hurricanes. We've seen that with severe weather on tornado risks. There's never a 100% chance it's going to happen. So the Weather Service and emergency managers, we're always talking about how do we effectively communicate that this is a more significant risk than most often what we see.
Yeah.
And flooding is another one of those. Since Helene, there's been a lot of discussion about that.
Well, and I think they're watching for, what, two hurricane systems out in the Atlantic?
There are, yeah. Looking at number nine spinning up into something.
So what's
and we're just 1 year out from Helene this week,
yeah,
actually.
I know, it's crazy. So what's your weather outlook for this winter? What's your prediction?
They're saying it could be a wet winter, but you never know.
Yeah.
I'm not a groundhog. I don't claim to know.
That, huh?
No.
I wanted you to be on record.
No, I have the whole list of the daily weather, what it's going to be. No, that's not true.
Let's transition.
Some people believe that, probably.
Let's transition. They do, actually. They probably think you should know everything about the weather. Let's transition a little bit, Brandon, because you are one of my favorite people in the world, and I'm serious when I say that. We give each other a hard time, but it's because we like each other.
We have fun.
You are involved, emergency management, public safety, all that's been a part of your life since you were a teenager and growing and going into college and all that. And you were have always had a passion, but your public service has not stopped there. Your desire to help others, you used to do a lot of in-school education with kids, and your previous role with 911 and EMS and stuff like that. Your passion doesn't stop with just public safety. So you're on the PET board with me. You're our former president of the PET board, and you're now a board member. It's very valuable. You spearheaded with PEP and our board a project to help our high school bands in this county, in Putnam County. And that has been impactful. So tell me about what PEP and our community is doing to help those bands in our high schools.
Yeah, so we're very fortunate that the PEP Foundation, the Putnam Education Partnerships, which is the school system's nonprofit foundation, obviously, our board's really bought into performing arts. We understand that some kids, that the whole reason they show up to school and have good grades is so they can be in the band, or because of the chorus program or the drama program. Whatever that performing art is for them, that's what keeps them engaged, and that's what they look forward to every day. And in some cases, that's what makes their mental health to the extent that they, you know, can get through the day and look forward to the day. So our board's really bought into that. I'm a band kid myself. I always tell people I was never really any good. Mr. Talbert's never defended me when I say that. I'm not sure what that means, but I always tell people I wasn't a good band kid, but I was a band kid, and I learned so many things that helped me throughout life. You know, the discipline and the dedication and understanding that you got to do the work ahead of time to be good in the moment. All of that stuff comes in. So with our middle and high school bands is really where I've focused the first part. And as I'm learning more about chorus programs and drama and speech and those other programs, we're starting to figure out, okay, how do we make sure that all of those students and all of those programs, that we have removed the barriers to them participating? Band is the biggest, and it's the reason we started there, is because you have to have an instrument. And most families, you know, whether they can afford that or not, may determine whether the child can participate in the program. So we as PEP wanted to step in and remove that barrier and say, any kid that wants to participate, we want you in the program. And so now that we've started meeting some of those needs and helping the band directors with funding school-owned instrument repair and maybe even purchasing some new school-owned instruments to meet that need, now we're able to move into the course and the speech and the drama pieces of those and just help remove barriers. As kids come into the fifth grade and sixth grade and they're starting to think, okay, I think I may want to be in the marching band, we work with those directors to make sure they know there are no barriers to this. Please make sure you get your students. And it's, you know, the band directors have been doing that, spending money out of their pockets and getting really creative of how they keep kids in the programs for years. But we want to remove some of those barriers.
So how many kids have we helped so far, do you know, through PEP?
Oh, I can't even give you a number of how many. Because of the instrument repairs and the different things that we're doing, our directors, our band directors in the middle and high schools just say that it is significant, the impact that the PEP board has had on what they do.
So what instrument did you play in band?
Trombone.
What does your son play?
Saxophone. I still play trombone, coincidentally. Again, not well, but...
Does Becky play?
No.
So do y'all...
She plays the radio.
The radio. So do y'all sit at home and... you and your son? This is a serious question. Do y'all sit at home and with a trombone and saxophone and see how does they are they compatible, I guess?
They are compatible, and we've done some stuff at home before, just practicing for Cookeville Community Band. We're both in the community band. I started playing again when he got involved in community band because it was a cool place to hang out with my kid.
Sure.
And now I've gotten so so connected to it that I really love it. Just a phenomenal group of people. And to get to play music again, now I'm a little more disciplined. Now I truly understand the value of what I'm doing when I'm playing as part of a band. When I was a high school student, I don't know that I recognized that.
Yeah.
So now I realize that more and enjoy it more. And to get to be around, you know, my old band directors and be part of that's pretty cool stuff. But yeah, occasionally we'll play something at home. It's not a routine thing, though.
I think from what I've seen, our band programs in the county are really good.
Absolutely.
You know, they're really good.
We have some competitive groups. They're super excited about Monterey's new program. They hadn't put a marching band on the field, and I think it's 38 years, Dr. Buttram said. And we just watched them Saturday at their first competition in school history, and it was just cool.
How many kids do they have in the program?
15, I think.
That's great.
That they're putting on the field. That's and they great. Sound great.
Well,
most of them are 7th and 8th graders, too. They sound phenomenal.
So what happens, of course, I don't have kids, but I have nephews and been around kids. What happens is those kids that are not participating, they see those the ones that are. They sound good. They're having fun. It's something for them to do, and they're like, okay, I want to be a part of that. Something I can do to help me stay in school, help me focus on being a great student because I want to be a part of something. And, you know, growing up, my daddy used to say, you know, I don't care what you do in school. You keep your grades up, but be a part of something, right? Do sports or do band or do something. I don't have a musical talented bone in my body. I can't do anything right with music. So I play football. Because, you know, I could run.
You're a grunt.
Yeah, I could hit people.
Beefcake.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's what
I
commonly think about with you.
I loved our band because I couldn't do what they did. And I was like, I wish I could do that. So I think it's phenomenal that you've put the effort in, that Pep's put the effort in. You spearheaded that effort. We're appreciative of that. I know our band directors in our middle and high schools are, and we're going to continue to support that.
Yeah, so, 100%. And I think it's worth noting, too, while we're talking about band, that a lot of people get involved because they see that band kids are just good kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are just good kids.
Yeah.
And when you're in middle and high school, you know the kids that you want to be around, the ones you don't.
So
we see a lot of that because they just want to be around good people.
Yeah, and I think learning those principles and values at that age helps you be a better human.
100%.
As you go forward. Brandon Smith, Emergency Management Agency Director for Putnam County, wonderful friend of mine, just a brilliant and great public servant and leader, and he is funny, too. He's got a sense of humor. Brandon, you got a face just like mine for radio, but everything
That's
else
right.
just rocks and rolls. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Always have fun.
Appreciate your friendship. Folks, hope you've enjoyed it like I have. Remember, it's a lot easier to be kind and to be mean. Choose kindness always. Love on each other. I promise you it's the best way to go. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.